He put the order of service down for 1 second. And the Lord be with you. As we heard in today's gospel reading, the disciples, actually we didn't hear in today's gospel reading, in the Luke version of the Lord's Prayer, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." When I hear that, I think, teach us to pray? You mean there's a learning curve to a life of prayer? And if so, it's safe to say I still pray like a beginner in lots of ways. My prayers don't always have the theological sophistication that I would like them to have. And they're not usually the deep meditative encounter that I would also like them to have. They're not always transcendent moments that the mystics write about. When I'm alone, in the dark, they're still too little, too anxious, too selfish. And usually they don't sound that much better than they did 20 years ago. Sometimes even worse. Last summer, when we were in Camden, the Ehrman Promise team would wake us up every morning at 7 and get us together for prayer. And I had kind of drifted off, and I realized that they had just asked me to pray for everybody, and I wasn't entirely ready. And at some point, my prayer kind of careened off the track and jackknifed itself into one of those messy prayers. Anyone pray to prayer like this? Papa Smurf, I mean, God, tastes great. Okay, amen. Some of the teenagers were kind enough to critique my prayer afterwards. LOL, nice prayer, Jer. Someone called it a fail prayer. It's safe to say I didn't get into this whole pastor thing because I'm especially good at praying, or because I'm actually all that interested, really, in becoming that sort of expert in prayer. As much as any of us might suffer from our own prayer performance anxiety, there is a part of us that knows that real prayer is raw, it is simple, it is honest. The learning curve to prayer has nothing to do with performance. We know this, right? You know this? Despite what the culture of church and religion teaches us, we know what it looks like when we're praying for realsies. Really speaking to our Maker. And too often, our most expert prayers end up tasting and sounding as cloying and as sweet and as fake as aspartame. Oh. Diet Coke drinkers, peace be upon you. I'm not saying we don't need to think hard about our prayers. I'm just saying we need to be honest. Prayer is not a mystical escape from reality, at least not most of the time. Prayer is an engagement with life where we are every day. Prayer is a request, a call, a cry, a plea with our Maker, the one who makes us whole, the one who is by no means finished with this cruel and beautiful little world. This is the learning curve. This is the lifelong practice of learning to pray well, praying with heart and mind and body, praying with an address at a table, praying with GPS coordinates. Lord, teach us to pray. Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer is nestled in the midst of Jesus' general lessons on prayer in chapter 6. A quick paraphrase, keep it simple. Don't bloat your prayers up with a lot of filler. Whenever possible, pray in private. Don't be a show-off. It's not all about you. Sounds a lot like kindergarten, actually. Pray in this way, then, says Jesus. In the first two parts of this five-part series, Ryan has already preached on the heavenly glory and the kingdom come bits, the hallowed world that we do not know, and the kingdom world that we hope for, that we long for. And today's focus is one line: give us this day our daily bread. One short phrase, such a frank request, devoted to the sustenance and nourishment we need to keep living and breathing and working on this earth as God's people. We might be a lot of things in this world, but before we are any of them, we are breaking, chewing, digesting, metabolizing creatures. From our mother's breast to countless cuts, scoops, portions, chops, bowls, dishes, right on through to that last bowl of broth or that last bag of saline, we are eaters. We are consumers. Unless we want to talk about oxygen or gravity or the gift of life in general, it does not get more basic than bread. That daily gift of water, minerals, proteins, and carbohydrates. The stored energy, gift of the sun, that lets us count the days and the weeks and the years. Whatever we do, be it good or evil, ugly or beautiful, we get to do it because we have nourishment in our bellies. We cannot live if we are not fed. The whole of our lives, the mundane trivia, and the deepest spiritual moments all happen in the context of a hungry body or one that will be hungry soon. God's grace and God's provision are our story before we even know it. Lord, teach us to pray. The simple request for bread each day reminds us of the fragile offering that life is. And we Canadians are often a people who could use that reminder. So many of us have become accustomed to such abundance. And really, considering our culture, we can hardly be blamed for losing our way now and then. Our appetites are subject to so many forms of marketing and convenience and the whims of culture and commerce and those Doritos that hit that magical sweet spot. These are forces that work to convince us that we can never have enough, that we can never be filled, that daily bread is not adequate. Food becomes a hurry, a luxury, an indulgence, a fetish even. In so many ways, it's easy for our daily bread to lose its place as the simple pleasure of God's goodness to us. How we eat, what we eat, who we eat with, the ethics of eating, presents us with so many complicated questions if we bother to think about them. Sometimes difficult answers. We do not want to hear the care of our planet, the injustice of our systems. It's difficult to navigate, but so easy to become entangled in and caught up in. Daily bread gets wrapped up in all our methods of production, the meaning of work, justice in the marketplace, the global economy, and brought to the table by people who pick our fruits and vegetables. Our daily bread is even wrapped up in the way we treat or mistreat the humble creatures we call food. The farmer, poet, essayist, prophet, and my all-around hero, Wendell Berry, said in his essay, The Pleasure of Eating, "We should learn to eat with understanding and with gratitude." He calls us to consider the sources of our nourishment, giving thanks for the mystery and the beauty of God's good gifts to us. In places where it's all too easy to be thoughtless about the food we put in our mouths, the Lord's Prayer calls us to thoughtfulness. Lord, teach us to pray. In that great countercultural act of prayer around our homes, at our tables, the places we work and make our living, at the grocery store, in our garden, the Lord's Prayer presents us with a way of life, a way of gratitude, a way of hope, a way of generosity and beauty, savoring the fruit of the earth without hoarding and storing up more than we need for ourselves. God calls us to this way. Jesus calls us to this way, shaped and oriented by the knowledge that the good gifts of this earth are from our Creator. Lord, teach us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Not give me a week or a month's worth of my bread. Day to day, enough. God, give us what we need to live. Jesus might suggest that we disciples pray in private when possible, but he doesn't let us maintain any illusions that we are praying by ourselves, for ourselves only. Give us this day our daily bread. The us and the our connects us with a community of people bigger than we can know. In praying the Lord's Prayer, we join our voices with that great corporate longing, the hunger of multitudes. Hunger for food, yes, but also justice and mercy. A human population engaged in creative groaning. Groaning because we need more of God's kingdom come. We need more of God's will done on earth. Christians throughout the ages have prayed this prayer in times of plenty and in times of want. And always, as always, in this day and as in Jesus' day, there have been hungry people, starving people even. Now, I don't think I've given you the impression, but to be clear, the Lord's Prayer, like any other prayer, isn't a collection of magic words. It isn't an incantation to summon an angelic butler. It's not a way to get what we want, as nice as that would be. The question of why and how God answers our prayer is a subject for theologians. And it's the question that keeps us up at night. And yet through all this, the church prays this prayer in times of want and in times of abundance. In times of deep hunger, even, with the full knowledge of the challenges and the dangers and the troubles of this world. Jesus still calls his disciples to this life of prayer. The daily affirmation that we need God to show up, that we need God to provide and sustain us. The Lord's Prayer is about our planet and its people. It's about communities of hopeful people, challenged and encouraged by the life Jesus calls us to. People learning to recognize God's mercies in the simple gift of daily bread. People who keep praying in a world that is still often so mean and dangerous and unfair. People who learn to pray like this cannot help but be different, with new priorities, new relationships, fresh encounters. As we learn to pray this prayer, we cannot help but be different. So, where are you on the Lord's Prayer learning curve? Is this a time of deep hunger for you? Are you still praying like you're alone in all this? Praying as if the Lord's Prayer is a solitary act, a prayer of one. But I encourage you to lift up your head and look around and join your prayers with the great cloud of witnesses to God's mercies. The gathering of disciples, agents of God's kingdom, ambassadors of God's good news. Or is this time a time of abundance for you? If so, may the Spirit move you in new ways to share the bread. May you be moved by the hunger and need of those around you, even as our Creator is moved. Today, consider this an invitation to take another look at the Lord's Prayer. A prayer you may have recited 10,000 times. Give us this day our daily bread. May these 7 words be a way for you to better see the world as Jesus sees it. May it shape you in a way, in your way of being in the world. May you be a more hopeful person, one who celebrates with gratitude, but one who is honest with the realities of our world. And may you continue to uncover what it means to be a creature on this planet in God's care. Lord, teach us to pray.